Hello, and welcome to another Tammy Kinders.
It's the programme that gets us out and about around the Isle of Man, wondering about all sorts of things.
And this week, we're going to look into a bit of old folklore that everyone knows, and actually explore the place itself. Oh, and I've got a £20 note and two paperclips. Bet you're wondering what they're for.
Well, I've got the £20 note now, so that's true. Thanks. Right. Thanks a lot.
Well, that one's sorted. That was short and sweet. Right, what are we starting with?
Well, this is something of an adventure, and as is typical of Howard and I, when we go on adventures, we don't like to do it easily. We like to add a little bit of mystery into the mix, which basically involved us going out at night and doing something.
Always makes it more atmospheric.
Well, yes, there is that. Have a listen and see what we've been up to.
Right, here we are, quite quiet at the moment, although it has been actually really busy because we're right by a main road on the TT course. It is, what time is it?
Well, coming up to 7:30 on a Sunday evening, and all I know is that I needed to bring a torch, and as you say, we are on the TT course at the moment, some cars going past right now, and what am I doing? Guess what kind of car it is? It's dark, I can't see.
Well, this was something we did think about earlier in the year, and you might have seen, and I'm sure a lot of people have seen, a wonderful new book out all about folklore on the Isle of Man, which is called Trevannan Brought Out, and we've spoken about it. I think it's been a bit on the news, Jim Franklin and a whole load. It is wonderful, and it basically is exactly that. It's, I don't know how many hundred pages long, but it details folklore sites all around the island, and there are literally hundreds of them, with links to various types of folklore, fairies, pixies, spirits, all sorts, dogs, animals, etc.
Yeah, I'm going home. Okay.
You're like, it's your sort of thing. Come back. If you get scared on your own. I think actually you might have even suggested it. Well, you know, start with a well known one. So here we are, just on the TT course. Here goes another car. So you won't get too frightened because the cars aren't too far away. But we're just going to go into this field here now, which we do have permission to do because it is a private field. And we are by a church without a roof, which is called
St. Trinian's.
St. Trinian's, exactly. Okay. So. And it features, well, I think everyone must have heard of St. Trinian's. It's actually owned, I think, by Manx National Heritage, so we can't go into the church itself. We do have permission, though, to go into the field and have a walk round. We thought, well, the time to do it, because it is obviously featured. And what do you know what the what's supposedly haunt St. Trinian's?
Oh, it's the Buggane, isn't it?
It's the Buggane.
Buggane? How do you say it? I'm not sure.
I think it's spelled Buggane, but I think the Manxies, but it's a Buggane.
Buggane. Yeah. Right. And what exactly is a Buggane?
I think, well, if we have a look in the book, it'll tell you, but it's basically a evil-looking, hairy thing with big eyes and lots of claws and cloven feet.
Great. Perfect. I could have been at home watching Antiques Roadshow. Okay.
And there's more. Right. So I think we do have to climb over the gate.
Climb over the gate?
Yep.
Wonderful.
Off you go.
Wonderful. Right. Well.
Here we go. Yay! No problem.
Right, okay.
Right.
Oh my goodness me. Oh, look at that tree. What kind of tree is that? It's lovely.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is nice. Okay, we're going to go up. I think it's just I don't know, I can't see in this light.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, right. Mind your foot. Okay. There we go.
So this is something that you can't, sometimes, you know, obviously you're driving to or from the west, you kind of sometimes catch a glimpse of, but it's funny enough, I never seem to be able to see it on the way back to Peel, because I kind of always seem to forget where it is, but my goodness me, what
it's off
a
the
fantastic
way.
Spot. You can see that hill in the background.
A word of warning as well.
Oh God.
Whatever we do,
yeah,
do not take away a little souvenir stone.
Okay, I won't.
Or lump of earth, or indeed anything.
Okay, why?
Well, we'll have a look in the book when we get up there, and you'll find out why.
Well, I feel a little bit. It's a full moon tonight as well, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah.
Oh my Lord. Okay. Do we just need to say sorry? We're not like trespassing. We're just coming to have a look, if that's okay.
Exactly so. And we have cleared it. Like I said, this land and the field here is in private ownership, and we have asked the owner, who's very kindly said yes, you can come into the field Not into the church itself, as I say, because that's separate. I think that's Manx National Heritage, so it's a separate case, but that's fine. We're not brave enough to go in anyway. Mm-hmm. We're just going to go around. Right, hold on to this. My head torch has fallen off. I can't see a thing.
What am I holding?
Oh, just hold on to the microphone. There we are.
Okay, right.
You got it?
Yep, got it.
Oh, I've snapped it.
Oh, no. It's very quiet just up here. Yeah. I can hear some water in the background. I'm not quite sure why we had to come and do this at night. And I don't know why I'm whispering. But yeah, okay.
Ah, there we go. Right. So here it is, and like I said, there's rocks around here, and...
Well, I'm not taking that home, that's huge.
You're not taking anything, I would tell you. We're steering clear of all mementos, even if it's just a blade of grass. Okay. Right, so what do you actually know about the story?
All I know is that they kept on trying to put a roof on it, and it kept blowing off.
Blowing off?
Was it not blown off?
Oh, I don't know, I thought the Buggane took it off.
Well, maybe huffed and puffed and blew it down.
Blew it down. So here's the gate.
Oh my goodness me.
Do you want to take a look inside?
No,
or at least peer over the wall?
No, I don't. Do you?
Hey?
Do you want to?
Well, we can take a look through here. There's a gate here we can see. That's the Buggane already. Right, who's got the book? There we go. So yes, I can. All I remember, I must admit, I remember the story I sort of seem to recall was they put the church here and then they put a roof on it, and then it kept coming off, and this Buggane creature came. And then there was the tailor, wasn't it? Timothy Taylor, not the man who made the beer, but I think Tim the tailor, as it were. He said he'd come and mend some breeches, and he went and sat inside and was going to mend breeches. I think that was the gist of it, wasn't it? And he kept, and the Buggane came out, and Timothy was there, and then eventually, just as he finished the breeches, he ran away and the Buggane chased him. That's as much as I remember.
Okay. Right, well, we've got this book here. Honestly, if you haven't read this book yet, it is well worth getting hold of. It's just fascinating. Gives a real insight into all the folklore stories around the Isle of Man. But do not take take nothing away from this site, because let me read you this.
You can't come in anyway because it's private property.
Well, no, obviously you can't. A particular story from the 19th century was of a young stonemason who took a stone from the chapel for use in a wall of an outbuilding nearby. After this, the young man suddenly became very ill, with his body being covered in sores. He was in this way for many months before someone realised the cause of the illness and returned the stone to the church. After this, he made a quick recovery to health. That's
well,
not the only story, though.
Go on. There are more.
Another time, a man named Kelly went to take a large stone from the chapel as a cornerstone for a new building at Rock Farm. As he lifted the stone, he felt a sharp pain go through his knee, which only grew worse as he continued to pull it to the site of the new building. After that, he was forced to lie in bed, where he remained incapacitated for many years until a friend suggested the stone might be the cause. The stone was moved back to the chapel, after which he was soon recovered.
You see, this is what I'm saying. So does it say anything then again about the Buggane itself anyway, or the Buggane? Down on that other page, because I think there's more about the actual... Somewhere I think I saw more about the actual Buggane itself.
Oh, right, OK. Do I have to read this?
Well, I know what's it say. I haven't actually read it all myself, actually, but it'll have something about the Buggane itself.
Right. So, accounts vary as to the origin of St Trinian's Chapel. The most common thought is it was first built by someone in thanks for surviving a shipwreck.
Ooh.
Some accounts attribute the wreck itself to the demon, which was later to also destroy the church.
And that's the Buggane.
That is the Buggane. Okay, so after the walls were erected, whenever they tried to put a roof on St Trinian's Chapel, a Buggane came in the night and pulled it down. A brave tailor called Timothy took a wager that he would remain inside the church.
Tim the tailor.
And sew a pair of breeches the next time the roof was on. So when the roof was on, he went there and was sewing the breeches by candlelight when the terrifying Buggane rose out of the ground. Covered in black hair, with tusks and fiery eyes like torches, the Buggane called out dreadfully to the tailor to look at his big head. But Timothy only replied, "I see, I see," and went on sewing faster. Next, the Buggane heaved his arms and body out, calling to the tailor to look at them. But he received only the same response from the tailor. Next, the Buggane showed his terrible claws and his cloven foot, but the tailor replied with only, "I see, I see," and sewed yet faster. Before the Buggane could finish his next sentence, Timothy finished his last stitches, leapt out of the window. The Buggane was furious and pulled down the roof before chasing after the tailor. Timothy ran for his life, with the Buggane following on behind at great speed. The Buggane was gaining on the tailor and was very close, just as Timothy leapt to safety over a wall into a sanctified land. The Buggane could not follow the tailor, and in fury ripped off his own head and threw it at Timothy, but it narrowly missed and exploded nearby. Timothy survived, but St Trinian's has never had a roof on it after that night.
What could possibly have gone wrong?
Okay, good. Right, well, this is lovely. Thank you very much, Begin. Thank you very much indeed.
Oh, well.
There is more to come. We have a little bit of a wander around the outside, but what a magnificent spot it really is. And we're so grateful to the landowner for letting us go and have a little ramble around.
Very generous, because it is on private ground. Yeah. We need to stress that. I'm afraid you can't just wander in. Well, we can't stop you, but don't just wander in, because it's not public land, I'm afraid. The field is privately owned, and the building itself, I think, belongs to Manx National Heritage, as we said there. So do be aware of that. Thank you very much. But, yeah, it's... I don't know whether I've ever actually been that close, or certainly not in the last 30, 40 years if I have. It's in remarkably good condition.
It is. It's magnificent. And, I mean, it's obviously difficult to see everything because we were there when it was dark. But that book is fantastic. And I think we should pick something from there to go and have a look at next week.
It's a treasure trove of so many. I mean, basically...
What's it called again?
It is The Folklore of the Isle of Man, isn't it? And it's a new one from Culture Van. There could well be a volume two, because James Franklin said almost for every story they've got in there, there's another one they didn't have space for.
Isn't that incredible? And I think that's what makes the Isle of Man so amazing, because we've got all of these stories and they're rooted in something. You know, there is a heart to these stories, and there'll be some truth there somewhere. But will we see them again when we were out there? We'll find out a little bit later on. You did mention... £20 and two paper clips, which I've got here.
You haven't nicked it. I thought you.
Tempting. Do you know what? Do you actually have this on you, or did you have to go specially and pick it up for today?
No, I had it on me.
Did you? Do you always have cash on you?
That's another very interesting one. That I do, yes, and yet the number of people now who don't.
Yeah, and I never do.
It's exactly. You're like the Queen, obviously. But it's a generational thing. If you speak to any of the guys and girls in their sort of, you know, 20s or early 30s, and I know obviously you're well beyond that now, but if you speak to people in that age bracket, they don't carry cash.
No.
They don't carry cash. And it's another one of those amazing things, like, I never thought I'd live to see a time where, you know, electric cars were almost the norm. And I know they're not the norm, but, you know, there are an awful lot of electric cars around these days. Whether we go down that road full time is another story
altogether. I like the pun there.
But thank you. But the cash thing, again, we are amazingly getting pretty close to a cashless society. Yeah. But being my generation, I just sort of don't feel... If I don't have any cash on me at all, I feel a bit naked, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, I know where to come if I need a tenner. Right, OK, so what are we doing with this then? We've got two rather large paper clips a Manx £20
note. £20 note, and it was just one of those... We like to do these little, you know, we've done a few little experiments and some of those little tricks and such like, just for the fun, because you can, because, you know... I wonder if you can attach two paper clips to each other, as you do frequently, just using a £20 note.
Right. So you'd have to put the paper clips onto the £20 note and then work out some way of getting them to attach.
Yeah.
Does it involve bending the £20 note over?
It might do.
Right, okay. So I'm going to put one on one edge and one on the other edge. And I'm going to fold it over.
This is good. It's like sort of origami. It's marvellous. I've always wanted to do like an origami programme on the radio. This is as close as I can get.
I hope I don't rip your £20 note.
Beth, folding £20 note.
Have I done it?
Did it work?
Well, they are together. I mean, there was a little bit of hand manipulation, if I can call it that. But they are together.
That's not bad, then. You're sort of halfway there. That's not bad.
Do you know how to do it, then?
Well, I'll show you the version I was looking at.
So let me just unclip those two. This works terribly well for radio.
It does. I told you, it's like radio origami, isn't
radio
it?
Radio origami. Okay, so he's folded it into thirds.
So this is the one I saw.
Okay.
So it also has a little jumping element to it. So, okay, bring that over there. That's it. So we fold it that way, put one there, and then we put the other on the other side, if I can do that without dropping it. Let's see, just there. Okay. Right. Like that.
I'm going to video this for you.
Oh, yeah.
Right, here we go. It's just started here.
Okay. All right, ready?
Yeah.
You put that there, and you go... That's typical, isn't it?
So what happened there, in case you can't realise,
is that
he just pulled the edges apart, and it didn't work.
How many times have I practiced that? And every time I've done it.
How many times have you practiced it?
I've done it several times, thinking that's quite good fun.
Right, okay.
I'll do that.
And it's worked every time. Fly by in Cronkavoddy.
And now
It doesn't work. Let's try again. It worked beautifully
okay.
last time.
Right, we're going to try again.
Here we go. One, two, three.
Oh.
There.
Now, that was exciting.
That was better, wasn't it?
The paper clips jumped off and they are indeed together.
Yeah.
And I did get it on video.
Oh, well done. That was what meant to happen. I can't believe it didn't happen. I must have done it six times thinking, oh, that's really very satisfying. That very good. Nice little trick. We'll do that. And of course, it doesn't work. That is just absolute sod to law, isn't it, eh?
But it's okay. Worked there in the end. Okay, let's head back to our mystical meeting place where we were wondering if we were going to see the Beguerne.
The Beguerne?
And it was a very, very magical place to be, I think, at that time of night.
Atmospheric, isn't it? And it's amazing how you just get up. We're not that far from the road, and yet it actually goes quite a bit quieter. And you can hear a little bit in the distance now, but it's a...
Can you hear that?
Yeah. Is that an owl?
It sounds like it.
Or
like
something.
That howling. Could have been a wolf, I suppose.
Or something from the dark.
Oh, stop it. Don't do that. Oh. Really don't do that.
It is very dark over there.
It's really dark.
Yeah. But yeah, well, it's... And it's an amazing place. It's still here. Yeah, we should just have a little walk around, I suppose, and take a look. Because you can see through, like, the Regatium. But like I said, it's locked up for obvious reasons. And inside, if you look in with our torch player, the windows have been barred over. But there's no roof, of course, so it's just the four walls. Still standing in pretty good nick, actually. But as we've heard, the stones themselves seem that they don't want to go anywhere other than here.
I don't even want to touch them, actually, but...
So let's just have a quick, we'll do a quick lap of it while we're here. So you can see down that side, over the side here. And at the far end, you've got, I assume this would have been the, I don't know, is it a steeple? Mm,
yeah, would it have had a bell in there down? I don't know.
There's two windows up there.
So hang on a second, which way is that going to be facing? That's west and east that way, I suppose, isn't it? East the other way?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I mean, there couldn't really be any wrong in that. Gonna east one way, west the other.
See, I assume the walls would have been higher, would they? And the roof would have gone up to the very top of that peak there. So it would have been quite tall, actually, in the scale of things. There's two windows up there, I guess, so that would have been the chapel. So it would have been quite a relatively tall chapel. Another one down here.
Beautiful.
What looks like a... Oh, very... Gosh, that's the thin. Look how thick the walls are when you look through that one. So it's in excellent condition, really, considering
that
it's been standing for 170 years, do we say?
Yeah.
And more to the point, it's had the roof riffed off a couple of times. Right, down the gable end, the far end, there's a lot of brambles down here. Here we just go around. Oop. Oh, gosh, yeah. There's that owl again.
So is that a big pile of stones here? You see that? I mean, it's hard to tell, isn't it, when we're just here with torchlight, but... There are some stones to...
They could have been some of those stones that were returned.
Thrown off the roof. Oh, my goodness.
I just wonder where his head exploded.
Oh, stop it.
Right, you can walk around this side. So, like I said, the far gable end, up by where the altar would have been, I guess, is sort of overgrown on the outside. Two windows there. That's very good. You should
it's flipping atmospheric, isn't it?
You should get a picture of that.
The clouds, yeah.
It's very atmospheric with the clouds, particularly with the owl hooting in the background where he is across the way in the trees there.
Goodness.
Very fine. And you can still, like I said, just about hear the cars there, but it's amazing how you just come up over the brow and it goes so much quieter compared to when you're on the pavement. And let's just go around here. So we're just going to do a sort of a lap of St Trinian's just to check that we haven't seen the... Because you don't really know whether the Beguerne could still be here.
I don't know, but what was the Beguerne? Is it like a fairy or a spirit or one of the little people? Not so little, maybe?
Well, not so little. And you think if he ripped off his own head, but I don't know. I mean, it's all very odd, isn't it? I mean, did that mean he killed himself? Who knows? Does that mean it still has the sort of spirit of the Beguerne in it? Who knows? Either way, we're not going to take any chances by, like I said, picking up a stone from the floor.
Well, I mean, if you want to try, I don't mind taking it back.
No. Oh, here we are. Here's the gate on the other side. So this presumably would have been the main
entrance.
Look at that. There's that owl again.
No! Don't do that!
What's up?
Why did you do that?
I'm just coughing.
Oh, my God. I can't... You know I can't cope.
And you can see the windows on the inside there.
Yeah.
So would you go and actually, if someone said, right, Beth, I'll give you £10,000 if you go and sit there overnight and mend Dan's breeches.
No. I'll take them round to his mum's.
Would any money tempt you to spend the night there?
On my own?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No, I don't think so. I just, no. Would you?
I don't know. I mean, I can't sew, which doesn't help.
Oh, I don't know. It's beautiful. I mean, it's a lovely, lovely spot. It's hard to see exactly, you know, when it's this dark. I mean, it is... Oh, I don't know. I just thought of being there on my own.
What a thought. Well, there you are. St Trinian's. We haven't seen the Bergen this evening. It definitely has a sort of spooky feeling to it. Have a look at it as you're going past. Like I said, don't go into the field because it's private property and we have asked today to have a look around. But you can see it clearly from the road, of course. I think it's one of the best known of all the folklore stories on the Isle of Man, along with perhaps the Mother Dew and the Fairy Bridge and such like. St Trinian's has got to be right up there. But it's a fascinating story which still lingers on into the 21st century. And who knows? Where? Who knows whether the Bergen's still here? I wonder.
I wonder indeed. Did you take out your scream?
No, it was there.
Oh, I missed that.
You just didn't hear it because you were too busy talking. Oh. Yeah, it's not nice when you do that, is it? It's not nice. And unfortunately, I realise I am
tradition.
An easy target.
It's just tradition, really, isn't it?
This goes back years, isn't it? We did a walk with, and we went up to Croncnear Relay at night.
Croncnear Relay, it's about midnight or something.
Yeah. Mm. If I wasn't on the...
In the snow.
On the radio. What were we thinking? If I wasn't
icy,
on the radio now,
dangerous.
I would call you a naughty name.
Well, yeah, that was fascinating, I must admit. And we didn't actually see the Bergen. It was interesting, we were debating whether... The place felt sort of... Sometimes you go to a place and it does feel sort of dark or feels like there's sort of dark spirits there or something.
Didn't feel like that, I don't think.
Generally,
I think,
people felt they didn't have
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I didn't... I mean, you know, me being me, sort of peeking in and having a look through the windows gave me the heebie-jeebies, but that's just because I have an overactive imagination. But, it's a beautiful, beautiful spot. So thank you very much again to the landowner for letting us do that. We have reached the point of the programme where we have a dig around in our archive, and you have found a tape, a cassette tape.
A cassette, Grandad. Yes, we have. Except it's a 120 as well, if people remember that. That's basically meant it was an hour either side, which translated to the tape being as thin as toilet paper. So you always have to be careful with these ones.
Okay.
But it seems to be working. Right, so I've whacked it into the machine. So if you say push the button.
Push the button.
And here we go. Being a disaster has turned it's a really Geraldine.
Oh.
Centre into an amazing success story. Well, as I reluctantly wriggle my big toe for the last time in Europe's number one indoor surfing pool, I'll say goodbye from Rill. And look forward to saying hello again next week when I'll be in Southport. See you then.
Gosh, we really caught the interview there, didn't we? What was she doing?
She was in Rill. Hey.
Going Places was presented by Geraldine Jameson.
Cobblers.
The programme was produced by Paul Moulton and sponsored by the Rill Sun Centre. This is a second opportunity to hear the programme at 7 o'clock this evening.
Has he been inhaling helium?
What's that, cobblers?
I think so.
You're listening to Manx Radio, broadcasting from Douglas in the Isle of Man. The time is 10 o'clock.
Oh, and there it goes.
Oh, gosh.
That is where it ends, would
it?
You believe? I tell you a really weird thing, and I never understand it. Any of the presenters, including you and I, if you listen to their recordings of 10, 15 years ago, they always sound like they've been inhaling helium. I mean, they're always much higher than they normally are. Have you noticed that?
I think that is a natural thing, isn't it? As you get older, your voice probably deepens. Goodness me, please God, if I'm lucky enough to live another few years, then
yeah,
I'm going to sound like you.
You sound like Barry White if you live into your 80s. The mind boggles. Fascinating stuff. Lovely to hear. The amount of stuff Geraldine did, I tell you.
Incredible.
It is unbelievable. Every second cassette you got will have either cobblers or... The lovely Geraldine on as well. Listen, that's it for this week. More shenanigans next week. See you then.
Bye-bye.